Welcome back to another episode of the Ring 'Em Up podcast. Man, it is an exciting time right now. We have some great news coming out of the great city of Pittsburgh, but we'll get to that here in a sec. Carlos, how you doing, man?
We're good, man. We're vibing right now. The Yankees are hot. Aaron Judge is hot. Juan Soto is hot. But yeah, like you said, we'll get into that, man.
Yeah, man. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff to really talk about here. But first and foremost, man, nothing more exciting right now than the man himself, Paul Skeens, getting called up for his major league debut this Saturday in the great city of Pittsburgh, man.
I mean, I'm not going to say that he should have been called up at the beginning of the season because we saw how that went with Jackson Holliday. So I understand, you know, throwing him in the minors a little bit.
Yeah, we definitely got a different view on that idea now.
But, yeah, he was due. I mean, dude has thrown in 7 games, you know, in the minor leagues this year. He had a 0.99 ERA, 27 innings, which is the only thing that kind of concerns me. But 55 strikeouts? I mean, you couldn't ask for a whole lot more out of this guy.
No, I mean, the videos you see on him, he's definitely out there making AAA guys look silly, you know what I mean? So it definitely looks like he's ready for the moment. Obviously, you never know what's going to happen because, like we said, we thought the same thing about Jackson Holliday, and that obviously didn't pan out, right? So obviously, we'll see how this goes. And they were keeping him on a very, very strict pitch count down there. He wasn't getting a whole lot of innings in because they wanted to make sure they're protecting this guy, obviously. Seems like he's going to be the future of Pittsburgh Pirates baseball. So there was obviously that. So I'd imagine he comes in and is still on a pretty strict pitch count when it comes to his, you know, the first couple games, whether he stays here or not. But yeah, man, it's definitely exciting.
Yeah, see, that's the only thing that concerns me is that in the minors, they kept him to 3 innings max in his the first 5 outings. This last outing he threw was 6 innings, and that's where he allowed that run. Or what was it, run or two? And, I mean, I don't know. He's just not really stretched out. Where this is a guy who's known for being stretched out. And in college, you throw what, every Friday? He was the ace.
He was the ace throwing Friday. Yep.
I mean, at LSU, I mean, this dude was a complete, he was a dog. 13-2, 1.69 ERA, 122 innings pitched. But my thing is, this guy was going into the seventh inning just about every outing.
At least. Yeah.
And he had a couple complete games, 8 innings. I mean, so he's meant to be stretched out. And that's why I think this adjustment of, oh, well, let's have you throw just a little bit here and there and kind of see how that works. That's what concerns me a little bit.
No, I mean, it doesn't necessarily concern me. I mean, obviously, it's just a matter of protection. And I mean, I think they're definitely going about it the right way. I don't know that they need to be, you know, overly strict on it, but with all the arm injuries and things like that, the last thing you want to do is send this guy through multiple Tommy John surgeries like you're seeing a lot of guys doing, you know what I mean?
Right.
So if you can try to mitigate that at least to the best of your ability, then I think it's definitely something you got to do. But yeah, I mean, if you can go at least 5 innings, you know what I mean? I don't see why you can't let him go at least 5 and let him kind of work it out through there. And then, you know, as the season goes on, as you get closer towards the end, start – or even towards the middle of it, you know what I mean? If he sticks around, you just start letting him kind of let it go a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't want to throw this out there, but he has very similar characteristics to all these guys who have elbow problems with the Walker Buehlers, the Spencer Striders, the Garrett Coles early on this season, the Justin Verlanders, just these guys who throw absolute gas. And I don't know, I hope nothing happens to this guy, right? But he's just very, I feel like, prone. I feel like his body type is just prone to injury like that.
I mean, there is a whole lot of stuff coming out nowadays with the way the mechanics work and who's got what kind of mechanics and how it, you know, and how those lead up to certain things. So, I mean, the shitty part about it, I guess, is that you never really know. You know what I mean? As much as you want to predict and as much as you want to say this dude might be as strong as a rock and, you know, nothing's going to faze him for the next 15 years in his career, or he can be a Jacob deGrom and, you know, pitch 20 innings in 5 seasons.
Right.
You know, so obviously hoping for the best for him, but it's obviously a very, very anticipated, very exciting news for not just Pittsburgh, but for the fans of baseball.
You know what I mean? This kind of giving off Steven Strasburg vibes. I remember that. Like, he was very, his debut was very anticipated from the minute they, you know, the world had known about it. And I kind of feel the same way about Paul Skeens. I mean, this is very, like, I don't know, it's very exciting. I don't think he's just like a household baseball name. I think he's more well known. But I don't know, man. It's exciting. It is not saying alarming, but he is facing the Cubs, and the Cubs are a pretty good team. So
they are a good team right now. Those are the top two teams in the NL Central. So it should be a good matchup for him to really kind of see what he's got and at least where he's going. Obviously, seeing him face some of these higher contender teams would be more exciting. But still, like you said, the Cubs ain't a team that's doing bad right now. In that division, the Cubs and the Brewers are tied for first place right now with the Pirates 5 games out. So it'll definitely be a good matchup for them. Maybe give Pittsburgh a chance to gain a little bit of an edge on, or gain ground, I guess, on that division a little bit. They started off hot. We talked about that early on, and then like last year fell off. So can this be maybe the moment that kind of keeps that team, in the hunt for the division?
Yeah, it could be. It's just tough. I mean, the Brewers are playing really good ball, and the Chicago Cubs are playing really good ball. So that's why I think it's tough. But I don't know, man. I think this is more of just why not just have them develop in the big leagues? Like, well, you don't have anything to lose. It's a pretty weak division, honestly. The two teams on top are good, but they're not anything. They're not better than the Braves. They're not better than the Dodgers. So they're middle-of-the-pack teams, I would call them. So why not just let them develop in the big leagues?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely, I think it's a good route. You can at least, explore and kind of see where it takes you and what it leads to. You know what I mean?
Ticket prices went up hundreds of dollars for Saturday's game. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. They went to like 400 and something bucks, I thought. Yeah. I think I saw something like that, 420 something. I'm just like, that's crazy. Like, I mean, one guy brings that kind of an impact. Not only, I mean, who cares if you win or lose at this point as an organization, if he's going to bring in that kind of money? Especially if he continues to do good, you know what I mean? He's going to continue to bring in that kind of money every time he pitches. So.
Right. Yeah, they also have another very exciting arm, Jared Jones. He's 2-3 on the year, but he has a 2.6 ERA. I mean, 41 innings. This dude's pretty good, dude.
He's honestly impressed me a whole lot, too. I picked him up in my fantasy team because...
Only 22 years old.
Yeah, he's very young, very, very live arm. He's got a whole lot going for him. Like I said, I picked him up. I heard a lot of news about him, so I was like, why not? And he's honestly very impressive. He's got some real good stuff. He's competing on a day-in, day-out basis. You know what I mean? And I believe it was last game, too, where he had a really, really good shutout. Let me see if I can pick it up from Whittier, California. Look at that. Another California pitcher. Who would have thunk, right? But yeah, I mean, he's definitely, you have a guy like him, you know what I mean? You add a guy like Paul Skenes in there. You have a guy like, who is it? Martin Perez, I believe.
Mitch Keller.
Mitch Keller's another good live young arm, right? But yeah, last outing a couple of days ago against Colorado. 7 innings, 1 hit, no runs, 10 strikeouts. I get it, Colorado, so don't fight me on it, but still. He had a really good outing there. He went 5 against San Francisco before that. He did give up 3 runs to them, but before that against Milwaukee went 6, gave up 1 run, 7 strikeouts. So he's definitely another good arm there too. You start building a little bit of a rotation over there in Pittsburgh.
That's what I'm saying.
Develop the rest. You still have a guy like O'Neill Cruz, that you build around on your offensive side.
But how fast before? We've seen this before with, Pittsburgh having good guys on their team, good arms, and they just get traded. Yeah,
they get rid
Garrett of them. Garrett Cole, gone.
I mean, maybe this is the point where they, maybe they've done their trading and done their stuff to where now they can, because you do also have Brian Reynolds, that's good. Joey Bart was a very anticipated catcher as he was coming up with San Francisco there. So that's definitely could be a guy. Connor Joe has honestly kind of impressed a little bit too, showing that he can play on a regular basis. So you have some guys there. Obviously, you still need a little bit of work for sure. Key Brian Hayes at third base too is another very good offensive guy there. You know what I mean? So you definitely still need some, but you have a good, decent core right now. You know what I mean? So I think there's definitely a good chance that Pittsburgh kind of keeps what they got going here and kind of builds off of it. At least that's what I would kind of imagine would be the plan.
Right. And I think this is how you can tell. I mean, this is at least what I kind of go off of, is the run differential. Do your pitchers allow less runs than you guys are putting up on the board? They're negative 22. So I don't know. I think that's just a telltale sign between the good teams, the okay teams, and the better teams in the league.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a good kind of way to go about
it. Because, for example, the first place Philadelphia Phillies have a plus 52 run differential. The Pirates have a negative 22. I mean, I don't know. It's just very telling in my eyes. First place Phillies have a plus 52. First place Brewers have a plus 19. The Phillies are a much superior team in all aspects.
Oh, for sure. All around. You know what I mean? You can't compare when you really put these guys up, not only on paper, but you even watch them play, and there's really no comparison between the two teams. You can tell which team is really well put together and which team is put together pretty good, but you know what I mean? Definitely, I don't see... I mean, the Brewers can definitely pull Arizona from last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, make it to there and
I mean, it really comes stuff. Yeah, it really comes down to who's hot at the end, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The last month of the season is really telling of, oh, you know what? That team might make a push.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know what I mean? But just like last year, you can't sit here and say right now that, hey, the Brewers have a chance at winning it all, because they definitely don't.
Yeah. So, well, no, you're right.
You know, so again, yeah, I mean, anything can happen. But yeah, I think Pittsburgh's in a great position right now. Just everything they got going on, all the arms that they're bringing in. Paul Skeens comes in and kind of solidifies that he can be the ace of this rotation. Jared Jones at a number two spot. You have Mitch Keller falling in there as well, too. You know what I mean? So they definitely got a lot of guys right now and a lot to look forward to here in, you know, the next coming years. So that division right now is definitely not a good one. And my team, the St. Louis Cardinals, Wilson Contreras fractured his wrist.
On a pretty freak play. I mean, you see catcher's interference, I feel like, often, but I don't think I've ever really seen it get forearm. Bad. Yeah. Like, I've never seen it get, a fractured forearm or what was it?
Yeah, fractured forearm or fractured wrist or something like that. He's out.
Yeah, I've never seen it that deep. I mean, you see guys get nicked in the glove, even their wrist if it's bad, but that was like his upper forearm closer to his elbow.
Yeah, I mean, it was real bad. I mean, when you look at the like replay, or you just watch it kind of play out, you see how close he is to JD Martinez there?
He's literally in his pocket.
It literally looks like he's right under him. Like, he's literally inches away from him. Like, I don't understand how anyone can, like, how does any catcher or any coach or anyone sit there and see and say, like, yeah, that's where you should definitely be, because
right. These guys, especially knowing, I mean, I understand that batter's box or that area is just as much as yours as it is the batter's, but at some point you got to also understand that that's not where you're supposed to be.
No.
You can't be right under JD Martinez's knob right there.
Yeah, you're putting yourself in way too much danger right there. It's definitely not what you're wanting to do, especially for a guy like Wilson Contreras. I mean, the Cardinals team is struggling, 100% a struggle bus. We've gone over that plenty of times. Whatever's going on over there needs to get changed immediately. So for him to put himself being one of the best, if not the best, offensive guy on that team right now, I mean, it's definitely something that you got to be like, yo, you got to protect yourself. You got to watch out for that kind of stuff, because we're definitely going to need you if there's any chance at doing anything this year. I get it. There's probably not. But if there, for whatever reason, is, like, you're going to definitely be a key part of it, because you're having the best offensive start to a season that you've had in your whole career.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's definitely.
And there was news that supposedly the coaching staff was the one that moved him up. I mean, he had instances in Chicago, too, where it seemed like he was already a guy that stood pretty close to the batter, to home, to whatever it is. But there was reports that supposedly the coaching staff out there had him moved up to supposedly try to steal more of those low strike pitches.
I don't know. That doesn't make any sense, because if this guy already has a track record of, you know, sitting kind of close to the batter, why are you going to continue to move him up some more?
You just don't care.
You're setting him up for failure, especially. I mean, for those who have caught, like, you're going to lunge every once in a while at a pitch. I understand that he's a big leaguer and he probably shouldn't be lunging, but it's going to happen. It's natural instincts, especially as you're trying to get a pitch that's breaking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These guys start low, and if they see a pitch up, they're going
to go try to catch it.
They catch it up.
Yeah, exactly. You want to catch it before it gets too low, so that way you still have a chance to bring it up a little bit, right?
So, I don't know. If that's,
but is that really worth it to lose a guy that you're dependent on? I mean,
well, that's just setting them up for failure. Like, yeah, I don't.
I mean, to me, it doesn't seem like that's worth it. I mean, to me, it's just you. Again, man, I know we talk about this and I know we bring it up, but my God, that coaching staff, everyone that's there, like, what is, what, who allowed you to continue to do this, and how is it allowed to continue? Because that guy, obviously you lose Contreras, which is huge. Paul Goldschmidt, which was your MVP 2 seasons ago.
Batting 195,
and he looks lost up there. Bad. Like he needs a map. Like he literally does not know where he is at. The other day he struck out on a fastball that was probably a foot off of the plate, swinging. Like how? Like it wasn't even close. Like it's not something you can say, oh, that was a nasty pitch and it really caught him. No, it was literally a fastball about a foot off the plate, not close to begin with at all, and he's swinging at it. How are you swinging at them?
Yeah, it's safe to say this dude's on his decline because, I mean, last year 268, in 2022 317.
Yeah, the MVP season.
But I mean, last year was not good, and this year's definitely got bad.
So again, it goes back to what is this coaching staff doing? What are they trying to? What kind of hitting approach are they trying to, you know, put in on this team? Because there was also a report with Jordan Walker getting interviewed down in AAA where he was like, well, this team, they wanted me to put the ball in the air, and they just wanted me to put the ball in the air. Obviously, that doesn't work for everyone. Like, you got to understand that the same approach can't be pushed along for everyone in your organization. Because Jordan Walker even comes back and he's like, I'm just focusing on hitting the ball hard. Whether it's on the ground hard, whether it's in the air hard, I've come to realize that if I keep hitting the ball hard, the ball's going to get put in the air and things are going to happen like they were happening before. So again, you can't sit there and tell me it's just one guy, it's just another guy. No, this is an organization. This is a team, a coaching staff. This is, you know, down through the system. Like, why are you doing this and why has nobody told you that, hey, what might work for one person doesn't work for everyone? Because my guess is if that's what was told to Jordan Walker, it was probably told to Paul Goldschmidt as well.
Right.
It was probably told to Brandon Donovan as well. It was probably told to Lars Nootbaar as well. These guys all struggle, every single one of them. I don't know how there's so much hype behind all these guys, and yet they all continue to fail. Why? What is going on, and why is this allowed to continue? It's getting annoying.
Yeah, I think just the fact that I feel like everyone has the same approach on this team.
Yeah,
your best player, who was, I mean, I guess Nolan Arenado now, he's batting 281. Wilson Contreras was batting 280, but there's no pop on this team.
None. Arenado's got one home run.
Brandon Donovan, 4. Nolan Gorman, 4. Burleson, 3. Lars Nootbaar, 3. Paul Goldschmidt, 2. This has Nolan Arenado. Oh, Nolan Arenado has 2.
Oh, he's hit another one. Sorry.
Yeah. This team just looks like they have zero approach. Like, all these numbers are really bad.
They all look lost. Every single one of them looks lost up there.
I wonder where they rank in regards of home runs.
Last, probably, as a team.
Here, I'll tell you.
Darn close to it. I get it.
They're tied for last with the White Sox.
Weird. Yep. They lost a series to the White Sox, so you tell me who's really the worst team. I get it. The White Sox record looks bad, but
I mean, it can't be that far apart.
Like, I don't
see their run differential. The White Sox are a negative 89. The Cardinals are a negative 35. So both pretty bad.
Like, I don't.
They're on the 4-game losing streak as well. Cardinals are.
I just don't understand how the owner has allowed this to continue. There was one time where when they were firing Mike Matheny above a 500 record, when they were firing Mike Schilt at a 500 record, where this wasn't acceptable. This was not acceptable by the owner. This was not acceptable by whatever
John Mozeliak. Didn't they fire Mike Matheny after like a playoff run?
Yes. Mike Schilt made the playoffs too. And then they still fired him. Apparently he wasn't doing a good enough job. But now you have the worst record that the Cardinals have had in 20-plus years.
They're second to last in RBIs, if that makes you feel better.
And you give the manager an extension? Why is it that Matt Holliday left from being a bench coach? Why did he say, no, I'm not coming back?
They have the third worst team batting average. Their OPS is third worst. So, yeah, they're bottom three hitting-wise.
I mean, again, why is it that Matt Holliday decided not to come back?
Probably because of what's... Like anybody leaves a job. You're telling me nobody wants to be employed for the St. Louis Cardinals? The only thing reason somebody would leave that is simply because, one, they know it's going down the ship. Yeah, they know that ship is sinking. And they see it, and nobody gives a fuck about it. No lifeboats are being... put out in the ocean, nothing. They don't give a fuck. They're like, the boat's sinking, fuck it. It is what it is. Yeah, zero is being done in St. Louis to try to fix what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, and I completely agree, because Yadier Molina, in case people forgot, also got hired on as like the special assistant for GM or something like that, and he is nowhere to be seen either.
I have not heard his name once this
season. He is nowhere to be seen. Why is that? Well, because nobody's listening to nobody. Everybody's just doing whatever they want. They're letting John Mozeliak do whatever they want, and nobody's questioning him. And if you question him, it's not good for you, is my guess, because I don't understand what else is happening. How is this allowed to continue? They are bad. They are very, very bad, and they are going through some bad times.
And nothing is being done about it.
Nothing is changing. There was a comment made, I can't remember who said it, but there was a comment made about here in the next couple weeks, if something doesn't change, that they might have to do something. But whether that's true or not, I don't, you know what I mean? Obviously, you don't know until something actually happens, right? So, I mean, again, this is just getting bad, and it seems to be getting worse. So we'll see kind of where it goes. Sonny Gray was the only light of hope that you have in that pitching rotation, and he got touched up pretty bad by the Brewers today.
Yeah, the Brewers are good, though.
Yeah, the Brewers are good.
Hey, you know what I mean? I'll give you this, though. The St. Louis Cardinals are fourth in best defensive team.
Yay.
So, at least they're not making errors.
No, but it doesn't matter if you're getting lit up every other day.
They have the third best fielding percentage.
Jeez.
I don't know how that helps them at the plate.
It definitely doesn't. It definitely doesn't. You know what I mean? So, it sucks for them.
Their pitching's right in the middle. Not the worst, not the best. But I will tell you who is having a pretty remarkable pitching season, Shota Imanaga.
Bro.
NL Rookie of the Year. Yeah, I'm saying it. I don't give a fuck that it's May 9th. Don't care. Dude's 5-0 with the 1.08 ERA, 41 innings pitched, 43 strikeouts. Dude has been good.
He hasn't been good. Dude's been dominant.
And he is such a personality. I don't know if you've seen any of his interviews, but he is such a personality.
It's definitely nice when you have guys like that that not only play but are also good to be around. You know what I mean? It lights up everything.
What's that show in the morning? The first one that comes on, the live one?
MLB Central.
Oh, yeah. Haidee Watney, is that her name?
Heidi Watney. Like that.
She asked him what's been the most surprising thing since being in the United States. And this dude literally said, he could have said anything, right? Food, the people, like cities. He could have literally said anything. This dude said that people make right turns on red lights. That's what's been most surprising to him.
I did see that.
Like, what? That's crazy, dude. You live in Chicago. I mean, I'm sure you could have at least said, like, oh, the nightlife in Chicago. I don't know, something.
The pizza.
How thick a deep dish pizza is. But no, this dude literally was just shocked that people make right turns on the red light.
Oh man.
But yeah, dude, he's been
dominant. Justin Steele came back too the other day, so that's good to see for them. That's gonna obviously boost their rotation up a whole lot. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of falling in line too with Shota Imanaga being your NL Rookie of the Year as of right now.
What's crazy though is when Yamamoto signed everybody and the Cubs signed this guy, they were like, oh, this is the freaking great value brand, you know what I mean? This is the Kroger brand of shit.
No, this was probably this is probably your better brand.
Yeah, this guy's. I mean, yes, Yamamoto has kind of flipped the switch a little bit, but Imanaga has been way better.
Yeah, he's definitely
30 years old too. He's a little
definitely
older.
He's definitely impressed. That's for sure, man. You can't take nothing away from that guy. There was a situation in his last outing. I don't remember who they were playing, but they were up 1-0. He had two guys on with two outs. Comes up big with the strikeout, and you see him just get excited and get after it, dude. When you see emotion like that, man, you know that's awesome. That's awesome, and it's exciting to see guys get that excited about situations like that, even if it is just me.
Right. I wonder if he's the betting odds favorite right now, because I'm assuming Yamamoto was it for the NL Rookie of the Year. But I don't know. I swear that might have changed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't have. I mean, but then again, let's see. I'll tell you right now, could still be biased a little bit.
Rookie of the year. No. Yeah, he is the favorite, plus 225. Hmm. Yamamoto is the second favorite.
What is he at, like plus 350?
Yep, that's exactly. And Jared Jones, plus 400.
Yeah, Jared Jones is again, too, another guy that, I mean, that those new pitchers in that central there are definitely definitely impressive, for sure. Especially Paul Skeens coming up, too. If he sticks around all year, never know, he might leapfrog everybody.
Right, but so. They also have another dude, Javier Assad. 38 innings pitch with the 1.66 ERA.
Dude in Chicago, the Mexican in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, dude's been fucking good for them.
Yeah, he's, I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, a lot of guys throwing really good innings. I don't think anyone has been a little bit more. I know these guys are new and it's definitely impressive. Don't get nothing wrong from there, you know what I mean? But one guy that's really impressed me this year that's been in the league already is Ranger Suarez over in Philly.
Woo.
And I think he's a real big reason why Philly is probably, well, I would say arguably the best team in the NL right now.
Right now, as of May 9th, yes. I would agree with that. Bryce Harper, I mean, he's since becoming off of, what is it, paternity leave?
Yeah, since becoming a dad for the third time?
Yeah, I believe so. Dude's been unreal.
26-12, up two games on the Braves right now. And, I mean, that team, top to bottom, just looks nasty.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to agree with you. They have – Zach Wheeler's having an unreal year. He could potentially be the Cy Young winner, how he's pitching right now. Aaron Nola is struggling a little bit, but Ranger Suarez is stepping up. Spencer Turnbull is stepping up.
I saw something that Turnbull is getting put in the bullpen. I might be wrong, but I thought I did see something where they were moving him back to the bullpen.
I don't know why. I mean, he's 2-0 with the 1.57 ERA in 34 innings. That'd be crazy.
I said the same thing, but again, why? Maybe they have a plethora of arms out there that he's better suited in the.
Nah, I doubt it.
Well, I saw something too that he hadn't pitched a full season for a couple, like since 2019 or 2020 or something like that. So maybe that's why, too. They want to obviously keep cautioning that arm. But, yeah, I mean, he's been lights out, too. And, I mean, again, pitching is always going to be a really big factor to any team's success.
It says here that I'm pretty sure he came out of the bullpen 2 days ago.
Yeah, 2 days ago. I know he came out of the bullpen.
Yeah, May 7th, sure. Two innings pitched.
Yep. I know that for sure.
So what is he, like a closer type thing?
No, I think he's just coming in like
a long reliever kind of thing?
Yeah, a middle, like 6th, 7th inning kind of guy if needed. You know what I mean? So it's, I mean, he's been having a great year. And if they're doing it for his health reasons, I get it. Sure. Protect the guy a little bit, but I don't think you should take away from the success he's been having as well.
Right. I mean, yeah, like you said, Philly's pitching has been really lights out. They're 5th best ERA wise. But yeah, I think the story here is their lineup, man. They're banging. Bryce Harper right now, he's banging. JT Realmuto banging. Brandon Marsh, Alec Bohm, these guys are hitting the shit. Alec Bohm's hitting 346.
He's lights
346 out, and he hates the city. Imagine if he didn't hate the city. Dude might be batting 500.
Yeah.
Just imagine if he enjoyed the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. Alec Bohm is definitely another guy because he was pretty good too. I mean, he's been good, don't get me wrong, you know, but he's definitely stepped it up to another level this year, and it's cool to see these guys definitely, you know, playing at another level than what you've seen the first couple seasons. A guy like him, a guy like Ranger Suarez. Ranger Suarez was good too, don't get me wrong. He had a big role when they won the World Series coming out of the bullpen. And now he's just showing that he can do it from the starting rotation too.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and when you're top five in pitching and top five in batting and home runs and ERA, I mean, it's hard not to be as dominant as you are. They're 4th in team batting average and, let's see, 2nd in OPS. So they're doing damage when they have runners on.
And, I mean, a good ball club is going to do that for you. You know, so they're leading right now the NL East. The Braves, like I said, 2 games back. The Braves right now, their only problem is your 3 main guys, I guess you would say, in Acuña, in Austin Riley, and in Matt Olson. They're not really hitting.
Right.
It's kind of crazy to see because these
Marcelo Ozuna is your best hitter.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. And don't get me wrong. Yes, he's a good hitter, and he's been a good hitter for most of his career. But when you have a Ronald Acuna, Nazi Albies, a Matt Olson, a Austin Riley, when you have these other guys, you're not really relying on, you know, Marcelo Ozuna to be that guy. And that, the fact that he is, that's what maybe kind of keeping him down.
That's
Maybe
he's what's keeping him up.
Well, yeah, keeping him afloat. But what I'm saying is, like, the fact that Austin Riley is batting 245 is, like, that's not going to cut it. That's not what you expect out of a guy like him. Acuna, 261, which, yes, isn't a terrible average, but that's not what you expect out of him. Last year, what do you go, 40-40? He has two home runs.
Yeah.
We're 2 months into the season. I get it. I mean, I'm not saying it's time to panic or worry or anything, but at some point, you got to, you know, start moving a little bit.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I think, I mean, I don't see it happening.
Matt Olson's batting 200.
Yeah, it's kind of bad.
Three bombs.
I don't see them struggling like this all year, because once they do come back, it's obviously going to be scary again as a Brave. You did lose Spencer Strider, so that kind of hurts a little bit, but you still have guys like Max Fried, Charlie Morton that are still pitching very, very well. So if they do come back, and if they come back to the caliber that they were at last year, I think it could be a very scary Braves team still, but that Phillies team, I think, might run away with this division if nothing changes with those guys here sooner than later. Because I don't know that Marcelo Ozuna can hold up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The fact that he's the one carrying this team is a little scary. Again, it's good, but the fact that Matt Olson and the Austin Rileys aren't clicking, like, that's concerning. That's very concerning. Yeah, but like you said, Reynaldo Lopez for them, 2-1 with the 1.53 ERA. I mean, that's saving their ass. Chris Sale, he shut out the Red Sox. Or, no, I think he gave up a run yesterday against the Red Sox.
But still look, they dominant. They look nasty.
They got swept by the Dodgers this weekend in L.A. And, I mean, that's who essentially everybody had chalked up for the NL Championship Series this, you know, come playoffs. And they just got swept pretty easily, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some faults in that on that team right now. But again, I think it all falls on those three guys. If those three guys can figure it out and kind of come back to their what they were last year, or at least close to what they were last year, I think they'll be just fine.
Yeah, no, like I said, I'm not worried about them. I'm not concerned. They're only two games back of the Phillies, and who knows? Is the Phillies' pace sustainable?
I mean, I think it is. I mean, they won the World Series.
They made it to the World Series.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, they made it to the World Series. They've got pretty much the same team. You got guys stepping up. I mean, I think as long as there's no major injuries or anything like that that goes on with them, I mean, I definitely see them getting to the World Series again this year and taking it all finally. Sometimes what it takes these teams is two trips to get there, you know.
Right.
Not like the Rangers a couple years back in 2000 and.
But they got there every year and just couldn't win.
Yeah, they got there 2 years back-to-back and couldn't figure it out, right? But, yeah, I think this Phillies team definitely can hold up. I think, especially because last year, too, they were fighting with – I mean, they were back still, but they still had one – they were still one of the better teams last year. The Braves just went on a ridiculous run. So you really can't say that the Phillies weren't a good team, because they definitely were all year round, you know?
They've been on the verge, man. Every year they're – they're right there. They're, you know, in the talkings to being, you know, in the championship, but they can't get over that little, they just need something. I don't know what it is. I think this team needs something else. I don't know if it's another pitcher. I don't know if it's another bat. I don't know what it is. But I think the fact that maybe that they're in the same division as the Braves doesn't help them out. Because, I mean, we've seen what the Braves have been and what they've become these last 5-6 years.
Well, yeah, I mean, it definitely doesn't help, especially with who the Braves have been recently. And this, like I said, the run they had last year. But Philly has definitely been a good team. I think the only thing the Phillies maybe are missing is a real legit closer in their bullpen. Because right now they have the lefty, I think, is playing their closer.
Fucking Jose Alvarado.
Yeah, which, don't get me wrong, he's not bad, but I don't think he's your closer. You know what I mean? I just don't think he's that guy that you're gonna solidify there, because he does lose it a little bit here and there.
Hey, there's a guy out there named Mason Miller who could help.
There definitely is, and I'd imagine that with how much Oakland is winning, they're gonna want to get rid of him.
Yeah. I mean, that only makes sense. I literally had a pretty scary thought. You know how easy it would be for Baltimore to send fucking four of their prospects over there for him? They have Craig Kimbrell, who's shaky.
Yep.
And Yennier Cano is not their closer. You know how scary that would be if they get Mason Miller?
They have the guys to do it.
That's what I'm saying.
They have the guys
to do it. They have the prospects to fucking send over there.
Yeah. Real quick before we jump over there, the NL West, the Dodgers are definitely running away with the NL West already. They're 6.5 game up on the Padres, which was kind of, it was kind of expected, anticipated, so nothing surprising there. Padres 6.5 back at 500, 20-20. Diamondbacks 7.5 back. Giants are 9 back. And then the Rockies are... the Rockies.
Right. Irrelevant.
Yeah, very irrelevant this year. Them, the White Sox, and you can probably throw the Cardinals in that conversation of irrelevant teams this
year. Yeah, so. I mean, the NL West, none of this is surprising. Everybody expects the Dodgers to run away with it. Shohei Ohtani batting .355, 11 bombs, 27 RBIs with an OPS of 1.103. Yes, he's good. We get it. Mookie Betts batting .346 with 9 bombs, or 6 bombs. I'm sorry, Max Muncy has 9. We get it. Yeah, this team's really fucking good. They're probably going to choke when they have to face the Milwaukee Brewers in the first round. I mean,
it's a very telling story. Seems like we see it
often. It every year. I get it. Tyler Glasnow's with a 2.7 ERA in 8 games, 50 innings pitched. Great. Yamamoto, 2.79 in 42 innings. Yes, he's turned it around. Looks good. Gavin Stone, 3.55 in 38 innings. Yeah, I mean, we get it. This team, nothing is going to be interesting in the West. Walker Buehler's back.
Didn't look that great, but again, he's coming off an injury, so give him some slack. He's still a great pitcher, unless something messed with him mentally that, you know, he gets the yips and all of a sudden can't pitch.
No, I'm not. And I think the fact that he doesn't have to worry about being like the ace this year, they have two, you know, arguably aces with Glasnow and Yamamoto. You can flip-flop either or. But I don't know. There's nothing going to be interesting about this division all year. There's not going to be any exciting other than Ohtani maybe winning an MVP as a DH. That's maybe the only thing you can really – that would shock me.
Well, but, I mean, Ohtani winning it. I mean, Tyler Glasnow, I think, has a chance for Cy Young.
No, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Personal accolades.
Mookie Betts, MVP. I mean, if I don't see Ohtani winning MVP over Mookie Betts because of what Mookie's doing right now.
Most valuable player. Who's the most valuable for that team? Yes, Ohtani might be the best hitter, but...
Who's the most popular either.
What would the Dodgers do without Mookie Betts?
They wouldn't be who they are
right now. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they need Mookie Betts. The Dodgers have been doing this long before Ohtani was on this team.
Yeah, I definitely got my money right now.
News out of San Diego, though. They did trade for Luis Arraez. That happened this past week.
Comes out game one and goes, 4-for-4?
Yeah, something like that. And so that's exciting. But again, he's a second baseman. Xander Bogaerts is already a second baseman. He's a converted second baseman shortstop. So I don't know how that...
Well, from what I saw is they wanted to pick up Arraez to give them more options in that DH role and also give their guys between Ha-Seong Kim and Bogaerts a little bit more of a rest too when needed. Right, because you can put Arraez in there at second. You can move Bogaerts over to short. You can move Bogaerts over to short. You can or keep them how they are now, right, and put the other one at DH. So it definitely gives them a little bit more versatility in that lineup now, which I can see being good, but I don't.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, I get it. Anybody would love Luis Arraez on their team.
Sorry, real quick, just breaking news. No team. We missed it. No team has come close to the price tag for what the A's are asking for Mason Miller.
No team has a fucking carton of Gatorades they can give him. Are you kidding me?
No team could fill up the vending machines for free. Like we saw it in the movie. That's all they're asking for.
Nobody has that kind of fucking. I'll do it. I'll fucking pay that for the Yankees.
I mean, again, it's.
I mean, we already have the best closer in baseball, but.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's. Sorry, we keep jumping back to this Mason Miller thing. But yeah, Luis Arraez just offers that little bit of versatility there. So it's definitely, something to keep an eye out for. But the weird part to me about that was. The Marlins won an arbitration case for him that saved them like $10.5 million.
And are paying, I believe they're paying most of his contract.
They're paying most of his contract still right now. The Padres are paying, I believe, league minimum.
Yeah, so the Marlins are paying the majority of Luis Arraez's remaining contract, so the Padres only have to pay him league minimum. The Miami Marlins are a fucking joke.
Yeah.
They're literally a fucking joke. I don't know what they're doing over there. They're 10-29.
I don't get it either.
The Rockies.
Why would you do all that to save you so much money and then all of a sudden you just get rid of the guy?
I'm not going
to
throw the Cardinals in there because they're at least double-digit wins. But, yeah, the Miami Marlins are bad.
That is true. I guess that's a good signing for him. But, yeah, as you just heard, I mean, supposedly the price tag for Mason Miller is super, super high and nobody's been able to come close to it. Maybe it's just a situation too, though, where people are protecting their future.
That's just straight being a good negotiator. You as a car salesman should know this. Like, it's kind of one of those things where, like, you know, you like, I don't know, you see a guy with a girlfriend, and all of a sudden she's single and she's hotter than when she was with the boyfriend. You know what I mean? It's the same thing with Mason Miller. Like, of course, right now the A's are going to say something like, oh, you know, we got a lot of teams checking in on him or whatever.
Yeah.
They probably have one or two teams. They're just trying to get the most they can out of anybody.
That's also very true.
They're going to end up fucking selling him or trading him for two guys. Watch. Two or three guys.
Yeah, one of them being a top 10. Just one,
though. Yeah, just one. The other two guys.
And he'll probably be number 9 or 10.
Yeah. But the Oakland A's, man, they're a pretty good team.
I mean, we all thought.
This is literally Major League, the movie in real life. Like, it's literally the exact, like, what that movie was about for anybody who's seen it is literally the Oakland A's this year. The owner wants to move to a different city, so the owner sets him up for fucking failure, sets him up with the worst possible players. And the team just fucking responds and ends up being a good fucking team.
The Oakland A's are 4 games out of first place right now with an 18-21 record. The Rangers are in first in that division. The Mariners in second. Then you have Oakland, the Angels, and the Astros. And the Angels are starting to fall back pretty far. The Astros are already 8 games back. So, again, where that leads Oakland to, I mean, hey, they're being competitive. They're right around that .500 ball club. You all of a sudden start, because you have some guys on that team too that are banging right now. You have the catcher.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name? Langelier.
Shay Langelier.
Right? This dude is unreal right now. He's one of their best hitters. You have Brent Rooker that's hitting unreal. You still have guys like Esteban Urias that's finally back with the team, or at least was. And he's one of their better guys, too. Like, these guys have some guys that are coming to play every day.
Oakland is the 3rd team with the most home runs in the league. They're behind Baltimore and the Dodgers. Ahead of the Yankees. Ahead of Phillies. Ahead of the Brewers. Ahead of the Rangers. They're literally the 3rd team with the most home runs.
I mean, oh, my God, dude. To see this turnaround from 1 year to the next is literally the movie.
It's literally like watching Major League in real life.
Yeah, it's literally just playing out right in front of you. If you guys are not following them as baseball fans, you definitely need to keep an eye on what Oakland is doing, because it is impressive.
It's awesome.
See. Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome to see, man. I am all about it. I love everything happening there, especially like we talked about, the guy Mason Miller coming in to close games. So you know these guys want to be winning ball games just for this guy to come out in the 9th and make people look silly.
Oh, yeah. Dude looks ridiculous. He makes guys look ridiculous.
Yeah. It's
In 13 games, he has a 1.1 ERA. He's 8-for-8 in save opportunities. I mean, he has 33 strikeouts in 16 innings.
Look, I don't care who you are. I don't care how good people claim you to be or not be. If you can find a group of guys that can come together for whatever reason, for whatever cause, and make it happen, it's awesome to see. And that's what you're seeing in Oakland right now. Whether it be because they're trying to move out the team and these guys are like, we got to do whatever we can. Because supposedly, from what I'm hearing too, the owner of Oakland is about $500 million short for what he needs to build that stadium out there. So it's like, what are you going to do? Just keep sitting back and waiting until $500 million falls in your lap? Are you going to expect the city to just give you more money? They're already giving you, from what I saw, $345 million or something like that to help out with it. Now you're expecting them to give you more?
Especially in a city that doesn't want you. And they've been pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, they
They've been pretty outspoken.
They've made it clear that they don't want the Oakland A's to be in Vegas and be ran how they've been ran the last few years.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that's why this team is coming together and showing that they... I mean, maybe we're watching Moneyball all over again here.
Whatever it is, it's fun. It's exciting. It helps that the Astros are as bad as they are. It helps that the Rangers aren't as dominant, you know, as they were last year. And the Mariners are, I mean, still the same as Mariners. Expected. Yeah, they're the exact same team. So, I think it's sweet. I think they got to take advantage of, you know, Houston being struggling as bad as they are.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely fun to see that American League West is fun right now. Yeah, I mean, we were talking about the Baltimore Orioles being one of the teams going out to get a closer with Craig Kimbrel. God, that name always gets me. Him not really being that guy. He's blown a couple saves. He's really not able to be that closer guy. I know he got pulled the other day. He got two outs pretty quickly and then all of a sudden gave up a home run. That put the team within one and walked two guys or put two guys on, and so they pulled him. They ended up tying that game off the runs that he put on base. So,
I'm telling you, man, how easy is it for the Baltimore Orioles to just say, hey, here's fucking, I don't know. I'm looking at their top one. They have 1, 2, 3, 4. They have 5 in the top 100 prospects, right? How easy would it be for them to be like, oh, here's Kobe Mayo, a third baseman / first baseman, and fucking two other random dudes?
There's a lot of talk about Kobe Mayo now being that guy that's his name starting. I saw an article this morning where he's making a name for himself and really putting his name up there as being one of their better prospects now because Jackson Holliday, after getting called up, he's even struggling down in the AAA level now.
Yeah, I wonder if that's more of just a mental thing.
I mean, I think it definitely is.
Yeah, because we saw at the beginning of the season, he had no problem being down there. Gets called up, struggles bad. And he had a lot of opportunity to turn it around. He had a lot of chances, and he just couldn't. So I think most of this is just mental. But again, I think his dad being who he is, I mean, I think he's going to be fine. I'm not worried about him.
At least I hope. You know what I mean? You definitely see a lot of situations where, I mean, you lose your confidence, and some guys never figure out how to gain it back. You can have a guy like Matt Holliday, you know, a phone call away to help out with everything and anything that you possibly need because, like we talked last time, he's definitely been a successful guy in the league. But if you can't figure out how to build that confidence and how to feel that confidence again, that can derail your whole career. And it's just one of those things where if you can't figure it out, like anybody and everybody can say whatever they want to you and do whatever they want with you and help you in any way. But if you personally can't get past it, that can be real bad for him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm seeing here the second best team, you know, with the best farm system is the Cubs. They could give up some dudes for him. They're another team that's in contention for that division.
They're a good team. They're missing a piece or two, and especially solidifying their bullpen can help.
So. I'm just saying, I think if come trade deadline, which I believe is August 1st this year, if the Oakland A's are still playing relatively close to the baseball they're playing right now, they're flirting with .500. They might be a couple games above, a couple games below. I expect them to clear house. I mean, you can't keep getting the team and the people excited knowing their owner.
Yeah.
I mean, Jim Fisher, is that his name?
Yeah, I think so. But again, it's going to be one of those, we're playing too good at baseball. We're going
to move. We got to get rid of some of these guys.
Who was the guy on Major League, Jack Parkman, that they ended up trading? Yeah, because that's going to be your. That's going to be Mason Miller.
Yeah.
We got to get rid of you. You're doing too much here. You're helping us win too many ball games.
Oh, Shea Langeliers, you're leading the league in home runs? Yeah. Go ahead. Let's send you to New York.
Yeah, you too? We're going to.
That piece of shit.
Yeah. Where can we send you? Asteroides, you're too fast for us here. Get going somewhere else. Like, yeah, it's kind of sad there, but obviously we'll see kind of where that leads up to because, again, that division is just a fun division. You don't have teams that are great. You don't have teams that are pulling away. The Rangers 22-17 again in first place. So there's definitely a lot of competition there, especially at those top four teams. And again, the Astros get hot. You never know. Maybe they figure something out, and all of a sudden they're.
I think they just need to get healthy.
Yeah, that's all. Well, definitely.
I think they just need to get healthy. I think Justin Verlander, he did get pieced up by the Yankees 2 days ago, but Framber needs to come back. Christian Javier, Jose Urquidy, Lance McCullers, The Rock and the baby, what the fuck was his name? Luis Garcia.
Oh, yeah.
He needs, I mean, these are a lot of fucking guys that have carried this team for a while, and they're hurt. Yeah. I mean, they're literally relying on just, you know, guys they're kind of just pulling out the street, you know what I mean? Not literally, but they're just hoping that somebody will give them innings one day, and the next day it's the same kind of struggle. Kind of a tough spot for their first season manager. God, what's his name? Because Dusty retired, remember that?
Yeah, they got the new guy over there. What the hell? Which kind of sucks for them, unfortunately. But what can you do when all your guys are going down?
That's what I'm saying. Joe Espada, that's his name.
Yeah, what do you do when all your guys are going down? Verlander comes back, but yeah. And Ronel Blanco has definitely been a spotlight in that starting rotation this year. But Josh Hader too. Like, what?
Like, who would have saved today?
No, he got a save.
He got a save against the Yankees. I almost blew it. Gleyber Torres hit a leadoff double and they didn't do anything with it.
Yeah, I dropped his ass. I got tired of him. So if anyone that's on our fantasy leagues listens to this, Josh Hader is available. You can have him for the free because he has not been good.
You know what's crazy, though? They have the seventh best offering, or they have the seventh most home runs in the league.
Well, yeah, shows Jordan Alvarez, John Singleton is even stepping up. Now, Alex Bregman has been awful this year, but yeah, he's been bad. Kyle Tucker is still super good. Jose Altuve is still having a really good year. Like, they still got the offense there. It's just nobody's able. You got to score 15 runs to win every night. Like, it's going to be kind of hard.
Team ERA. When you're in the category with the Colorado Rockies, the Miami Marlins, and the Chicago White Sox, you know you're doing something really bad.
Yes. You know that
they're 28th out of 30, so that just goes to show that their pitching is a big, big problem.
Yes, yes it is, especially when, like we said, you got guys like Josh Hader that aren't doing their job because they're being asked to pitch in other situations. It's definitely not good for the team, so sucks for them, but again, who cares? I'm tired of seeing Houston being good, if I'm being honest with you. I'm over it.
Pretty sure I had them in the World Series. So well,
that was a bad pick on your part.
Yeah, very bad pick.
You know? But hey, the Indians.
Guardians.
Oh, sorry. God damn it. I keep forgetting. My apologies to whoever I offend. The Guardians have definitely been a very impressive team this year still.
They're good.
They are very good, and the Twins are kind of heating up a little bit. Carlos Correa came back off of being hurt. I know Royce Lewis is coming back rather. I mean, I think he's still got a little bit of time, but he'll be back too. So that'll definitely help. But the Twins, the Guardians.
You're just going to pass over my Kansas City Royals like that?
Hey,
22-16.
2.5 games out of that division.
Yeah, Guardians, look at that run differential, though.
What is it?
Plus 46.
Oof.
The Guardians plus 41. The Twins
Oof.
Plus 24.
Oof.
The White Sox negative 89.
Yeah. Detroit has kind of fallen off a little bit, too. They're still above.
They might have the Cy Young winner of the AL this year, though. Tarek Skubal.
Tarek Skubal.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's the favorite to win it.
I mean, he's definitely been.
Plus 250.
He's been very, very fun to watch, too. The dude's got that weird leg kick that you haven't seen in a while. But goes out there and just shoves, you know what I mean? But,
struck out 13 Yankees, still lost on Sunday.
That's the shitty parts.
It's unfortunate for him.
Yeah, that's what sucks, is you're going to have one of those kind of seasons where you go out and dominate.
Could be a Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, you can't get wins because your team just is awful, like god-awful. But yeah. Hey, maybe he gets traded.
Hopefully.
No, maybe he gets traded. You never know. Detroit falls real far behind, then all of a sudden they're sellers, you know. Maybe someone offers a pretty good package for him.
You know what's crazy? Average-wise, which, I mean, say what you want about batting average, but the Royals, the Guardians, and the Twins, they're 15th, 17th, and 18th. They're right in the middle of the pack.
And they're winning ball games.
I mean, well,
a lot of ball games.
Yeah. Home runs. The Guardians. I lost it for a second. Yeah, the Guardians have the most home runs in that division.
Yeah, the Guardians are 24 and 13, the Twins 22 and 15, and the Royals 22 and 16. The Royals are playing the Angels right now, and they did take a first or second inning lead. So they're off to what looks like is going to be another win. But yeah, I mean, Detroit's falling off. Kansas City is very impressive. They're keeping up with it. The Twins, like I said, with Carlos Correa coming back, Pablo Lopez today had an amazing outing. So he looked very, very good against
Seattle. I really like the Kansas City Royals.
I do too.
Salvador Perez is batting 321.
That dude.
Bobby Witt Jr. is batting .322. Vinny Pasquantino, who just hit the bomb for the Angel or for the Royals against the Angels, has 5 bombs and is batting .252. Like MJ Melendez, who's cooled on a little bit, but he's another dude. Mikael Garcia.
Yeah.
Four bombs, has 22 RBIs. I don't know. There's something about this team that's just exciting.
Just another little scrappy team that's doing what they can, just like the Indians. You know, they did lose
Guardians.
The Guardians, sorry.
Seth Lugo with a 1 point. I'm not telling you, dude.
Seth Lugo, Cole Reagan, whichever one it is. He's been lights out, too. Michael Wacha hasn't been bad.
Brady Singer looks good.
Brady Singer looks very good. That was a very anticipated prospect coming up. Kansas City, that division. That division is going to be probably the funnest one to watch, and our second funnest to watch, because you have these teams that are going to be scrappy, at least these three that I think are going to compete all year long, and definitely see who can hold up the longest will win the division. Because the Guardians did lose. Is it Bo or Josh? I think it's Josh that they lost. Did you see that freak?
Yeah, accident. It was Josh. Bo's the catcher.
Yeah, Josh. He was running out to try to field a. Try to get to a pop-up that's in that, middle of nowhere land.
And his fucking leg just detached. Yeah,
his leg broke. Like, oh, my God.
He got, amputated in the outfield, and that was crazy.
Yeah, dude, that was nuts. I don't know that I've ever seen something like that on a baseball field, because that was crazy. You literally
see that. That's something you see in, football.
Yeah, you literally saw his leg, bend and dangle, and, you knew that there was something immediately wrong. So, that division's going to be fun. And then in the AL East, the only fun part about it, really, from what it looks like, is going to be the race between the Yankees and the Orioles. The Blue Jays fell off real quick.
I've been fucking saying this. The Blue Jays are not good. They haven't been good. They're the most overhyped team every single year. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is overhyped every single year.
His defense is so god awful.
He just, in general, is bad. He's not a good player. There'd be a lot of first basemen that I'd take over Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Yeah, I agree.
That's not even close to, he's not good. There's nothing about him that's good. He's an okay player. That's it. He's not as bad as Javier Baez, but he's not much better than him.
Yeah, Javier Baez is a different story.
That's what I'm saying. He's batting .246, has 4 bombs and 16 RBIs. Yeah, those, again, not awful numbers, but it's not what everybody expects him. Again, it doesn't help that his name is Vladimir Guerrero Jr., because you think of his dad and how important his dad was to the game and how good he was. But this whole team is just not good. Danny Jansen, their catcher, is batting .311. He has the highest batting average on this team, and he's not even their main catcher. George Springer batting .206. Bo Bichette, .191. Talk about a dude who's fallen off.
And he was definitely the guy that was, people were expecting a little bit more from him.
But again, I'm not upset about it. Fuck this team. I've said it from the beginning. They have beef with the Yankees for absolutely zero reason, even though the Yankees whoop their ass every single year. Kevin Gausman, who was, I think, runner-up in the Cy Young last year, or at least top three, he has a 3.78 ERA. Jose Berrios, who was the best pitcher in the American League last month, got touched up, but he's been there. Him and Kikuchi, 2.72 and a 2.85. Yes, really good. Chris Bassett, really bad, 5.08. Their fifth starter right now is Bowden Francis. Him or Trevor Richards, they kind of split time, but both all these guys, bad. Bad, bad, bad. And don't even get me going about with that fat fuck Alek Manoah, who made his late major league debut on Sunday against his season debut.
He was in the league already.
Yeah.
He was quick taking that away from him.
I forgot they sent him down for being fat. When was it? It was Sunday, wasn't it?
I think it was Sunday.
4 innings pitched, 6 hits, 7 runs, 6 earned runs. Gave up 2 bombs, walked 4 guys. He did strike out 6 guys. Has a 13 ERA from that one start. Good, good, good. I will pray on this guy's downfall every single time he goes up there.
That's messed up. Why is it that you don't like this guy?
Because he fucking He talks so much shit. I get it. He did have that 1 year. I don't remember which year it was.
It was 2 years ago, I think.
It was when the All-Star game was in at Dodger Stadium. I think that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, because...
Oh, yeah. 2022.
He had last year is when all the getting sent to rookie ball and everything like that.
Yeah, 2022, he was 16-7 with the 2.2 ERA. It pitched almost 200 innings. I mean, yeah, he was good. I'll give him that year. But that 1 year... The 1 year he's had success, he literally thinks he's Nolan Ryan. He talks so much shit. He got into it with just about every team in the East, which I get. I like it. I like a fiery competitor, but to a limit. And he talks so much shit. The offseason between 2022 and 2023, there was the whole sticky stuff. It was like when all that was kind of coming to fruition. He talked so much shit and outed Garrett Cole so many times, which, again, I'm sure Garrett Cole used something, but who didn't? Who didn't use Spider-Tack or whatever in the big leagues? Guess what? Garrett Cole won the Cy Young last year. What'd you do? Got sent to fucking rookie ball, you fat ass. So how about you worry about yourself and not the Yankees? I hate Alec Manoah so much. Like, I literally pray on this guy's downfall every single time. I hope he gets shelled. I hope he walks the bases loaded every... Like, I do not like this guy at all.
Oh, that's hilarious. I ain't gonna lie. That's pretty funny. But, yeah, I mean, the Yankees are half a game back of the Orioles right now. And the good sign for the Yankees is Aaron Judge is finally starting to hit.
That team, baby. That team just fires me up.
Yeah, it's a good Yankees team. I ain't gonna lie. Especially if Garrett Cole comes back eventually. I mean, they already have a halfway decent starting rotation. Luis Gill has
halfway decent. Come on. I don't know about halfway decent. We're second best in baseball with the team ERA wise. We're behind the Red Sox.
Yeah, but that's because of your bullpen. I'll give that.
Yeah, our bullpen is disgusting.
Yeah, your bullpen is nasty. I mean, Carlos Rodon has been pretty good. He still gets touched up a little bit. Marcus Stroman, I think, got hit around a little bit today.
Marcus Stroman is the only weak link in our.
Luis Gill has been very impressive
with the nasty ass fucking neck tattoo.
Yeah, he's been pretty impressive. And then, who else you guys got over there?
In our rotation?
Yeah.
It's Nestor.
Oh, yeah. Nasty Nate. I mean,
He does the job. He does what he's supposed to.
You know what I mean? Right now, the guys are doing enough to win ball games.
Yeah, he does enough. Nestor Cortez, he has a 3.7 ERA. Luis Hill with the 2.9. Carlos Rodon with the 3.5. Clark Schmidt with the 3.5. Marcus Stroman with the 3.8. Again,
They're doing enough. Now that Aaron Judge is all of a sudden figured out what he needs to do, I think that takes even more pressure off of those guys.
Well, you got guys like Aaron Judge and Soto figuring it out.
Soto's had it figured out.
Well, I guess you're right. You can't take that away from him. He's had it figured out since he was fucking 19.
Yeah, apparently.
Giancarlo Stanton, who... I mean, he's looked a lot better. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you.
Was it today or yesterday the piss missile he hit or like
119? Yeah. You're not catching that. You're not a fan.
Whoever that was directed at, too. Like, I hope you're still alive.
If that hits you in the head, you're dead. Yeah, you're literally dead if that hits you in the head. But yeah, I mean, guys like Anthony Rizzo, Verdugo, Anthony Volpe, all these guys. Like, it's a very exciting team. And the fact that they're getting Garrett Cole, I believe they're shooting for the end of next month, middle of end of next month of June, because he is like throwing off a mound now, but they're like being super cautious with him, very limited on what he's only been throwing fastballs. So yeah, they're being very, very, very cautious with the guy, and I get it. And I mean, that's what everybody was concerned about, was the starting rotation, and that's holding up.
Yeah, no, I mean, they look very good top to bottom. A nasty bullpen, pitching, starting pitchers are doing enough to keep them in the ball games, and now that offense is waking up to full capacity, and it's looking nasty. Like I said, they're only half a game back of the Orioles. The Orioles definitely look good for sure, but
we have the best closer in baseball, Clay Holmes. Anybody who watches Clay Holmes pitch, you would think there's some wizardry going on. His balls move so fucking much, it's ridiculous. I don't know how you do it. Like, in my head, I played baseball my whole life. I don't know how you get a ball to move that much, that hard. This dude's throwing 199 just bowling balls out there. It's crazy the sink he has on his baseballs.
I think we did get the Nailers wrong just catching up, because the White Sox were up 3-0 on Cleveland, bottom eight. Josh Naylor hit a bomb to go or to put him down 3-2. That was after Jose,
Jose Ramirez.
Yeah, the best third baseman in the league.
Yeah, Jose Ramirez.
Jose Ramirez hit a bomb right before him to put him down 3-1. Josh Naylor comes up, hits a home run. They're down 3-2. He's got 10 home runs on the year.
Jesus. I didn't realize that.
That's pretty crazy. But yeah, I mean, the Orioles still look pretty good. I mean, they're definitely playing really good baseball. Pitching is holding up. They're doing everything that they need to do. Obviously, the likes of the prospects with Jackson Holliday not really working out, but Colton Cowser has definitely worked out pretty much for them. Their pitching's coming alive. They're really putting a really good ball club together over there. So it's definitely going to be a fun run to see.
Yeah, the Orioles are a problem. I'll admit that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun run to see if finish out with those two teams, because the Red Sox, they don't really have it. The Rays, they're not what they used to be, at least in the couple years past. You know what I mean? So it's kind of weird to not Gunnar see them.
Gunnar Henderson with 11 home runs.
Gunnar Henderson has been lights out. Now you see why they weren't moving him from that spot for Jackson.
Now we know why Jackson Holliday was in AAA.
Yeah, like Gunnar Henderson is a dog. He is that guy for
Jordan
sure.
Jordan Westbrook, 6 home runs. Adley Rutschman, .318 batting average. Yeah, this team's good. I'm not going to sit here and pretend they aren't. They're a very good team.
Yeah. So definitely a good team. Definitely a lot of season still going, especially for these teams in the hunt. And it might be too much season for some of these teams that have fallen off of the table already.
Like the St. Louis Cardinals.
Unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, obviously a lot to do, a lot of race to still be ran. So it's going to be fun to see one little hot take before we end this here. Jose Abreu from Houston did also get sent down to rookie ball, to rookie camp.
He willingly, because he...
Yeah, he was okay. He accepted it. He said, yes, I need to figure something out, because he was not touching a baseball.
He was struggling really, really bad.
I think he was batting under 100, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was batting like .95
or And that's why John Singleton now has all the opportunity in the world.
And he's showing out.
I mean, he hit a fucking tank today at Yankee Stadium.
He is showing out, for sure. So, Jose Abreu either needs to figure it out or...
I mean, it might be time.
Yeah, maybe it's...
I mean, he is, I think, in his 40s or late 30s.
He's got to be in his 30s somewhere, yeah.
He's an older guy, though.
I mean, he's one of those... Because he's Cuban, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of them Cuban guys that came over pretty late and...
37, my 30, bad.
Yeah, he's one of them Cuban guys that came over kind of late, which kind of sucks for them, you know what I mean? They don't have that opportunity to come here from a real young age and kind of see a full career, but, you know, it is what it is for them, unfortunately, so...
Yeah.
Singleton hit one today. He's got 4 bombs now. So sorry for Abreu.
My last just little nug here is a former MLB player, Monte Harris, who was on the Miami Marlins, has committed to Arkansas football. He is 28 years old and going to go play wide receiver for the Arkansas Razorbacks this year. 28.
He was part of the Christian Yelich trade, I believe,
yes,
from what I saw, right?
He was a 4-star recruit in 2014, so back when I started high school, this dude was graduating. Yeah. Jeez. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. You were, what, 2 years removed from high school?
2 years removed from high school. I was at Barstow Community College at the
time. So you were in Barstow when this guy was... about to graduate, and he's going back to play college football.
Hey, you got the eligibility. All the NCAA cares about is making money.
Well, yeah.
So, you see that with everything going on.
But
now,
you're 28, you're about to go play with 18, 19-year-olds?
He going to dominate. Well, you would imagine. Maybe
you would
not
think so.
Yeah, maybe not, though. You never know.
I don't know. I think it's just, I thought that was a little weird. Yeah. I feel like at that point, you got to hang him up, dude, and figure something else out.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he gets drafted by the NFL now.
I guess baseball wasn't working out.
Yeah, right, obviously. But yeah, I mean, anyways, we appreciate you guys as always. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Enjoy the rest of the season, enjoy what's to come. Keep us updated with any news that you guys catch interesting. We'll definitely be sure to highlight it. But as always, we really appreciate everything that you guys do for us, all the listens, all the follows, all the shares. But we'll catch you guys on the next one here.
Yep, go Yanks, baby.